Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Hussein Solomon, no stranger to Hi FM, absolutely brilliant. I always feel smarter for having spoken to him. And he's, if you don't know who he is a political analyst. He's an expert on conflict resolution and on fundamentalism. He joins me right now. Good morning, Professor Solomon. How are you?
Good morning, and good morning to your viewers. I have a bit of a flu, so I apologize if I'm not coming across very clearly.
We actually couldn't even tell. Professor Solomon, can we please unpack South Africa's involvement with ISIS? How this all came about is that I saw a post about a 13-year-old Hamas operative who was killed, and the reason that it's not all over the media is because it wasn't Israel who killed him. But what he was wearing was an ISIS headband. And I just thought, hold on a second. Why is Hamas wearing an ISIS headband? Let me speak to an expert to try and understand the different plays, if we can put, or the different players. So, but specifically from a South African point of view. So, does South Africa support ISIS? I mean, you know, ideologically, do we support ISIS?
Well, let me put it to you this way. In terms of South Africa, I mean, as the South African state, we have signed the various UN anti-terror legislation. We have signed up and ratified the AU legislation around issues of terrorism. But in practice, we've turned a blind eye to what's going on. So if you take South Africa, you know, according to the former Iraqi ambassador to South Africa, 300 South Africans were trained in Raqqa, the erstwhile capital of the Islamic State Caliphate. Okay. And we have no idea now that these guys are back. Are they under surveillance? Have they been investigated? Have there been any action, legal action taken against them for joining a terrorist grouping? But more importantly, two other developments. Islamic State is actually growing very rapidly across the African continent, directly impacting on our national interests, specifically coming from Central Africa and the DRC, Uganda, and then coming down the east coast of Africa, Somalia, Tanzania, and of course, Mozambique. In 2020, we actually received threats from Islamic State because we were considering, and we subsequently did, send troops to be part of the SADC mission against the insurgents in Cabo Delgado. But more worryingly is that the U.S. Treasury has actually listed a number of IS cells operating here, largely operating logistics, finances, and so on. What we also know is that the State Security Agency is in a very bad space.
Apparently.
Yeah, recently, for example, they got rid of all state security personnel aged between the ages of 50 and 58. And that was deemed to be getting rid of those people who were loyal to Jacob Zuma. Having said that, you are also going to throw out the baby with the bathwater in terms of getting rid of some highly skilled people that we may have in that age group. The other problem, of course, is that, if you listen to what the minister in the presidency, Khumbudzo Ntshavheni, said, that they are prioritizing investigations. And she said that this week, that the SSA was prioritizing investigations to determine whether we are being used as a logistical hub for IS operations in Africa. The answer is obviously yes, and it's been the case for some time. This is why South Africa was grey-listed by FATF, the Financial Action Task Force. This is what the UN has been saying for some time and so on. So we're sort of behind the curve. And with terrorism, preemption is better than cure.
Sure. I'm so unnerved by what you're just saying. It's really, I think I'm now feeling as sick as you are. 300 operatives, just to summarize, right? 300 operatives went off to fight for ISIS. They're back. We don't know what their agenda is. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're doing, but they fought for ISIS. The Islamic State is growing and directly growing on a national, growing and directly growing on our national interests. Is that what you said?
Yes. Well, it definitely threatens our interests.
And threatens.
And don't forget, we have troops in the Eastern DRC, okay? As part of the mission to stabilize that part, given the ongoing civil war there. We were until just a few months ago, we were in Mozambique trying to stabilize northern Mozambique. We have another problem, though, in northern Mozambique, and this is the elections which was held. And that elections basically resulted in Frelimo stealing, the election again and perpetuating their never-ending grip of power. And the problem is, in all of the terror groups that I've studied on the African continent, when you have this chaos, when the government is suffering from a legitimacy crisis, these Islamist groups tend to use that to grow, to recruit, to exploit the existing cleavages in society. And Mozambique, it seems to me, is heading towards that direction and a failed state. And although you have the Rwandan troops there right now, and they're very effective, the problem is they're just trying to protect the energy fields of the French oil company Total. They are not engaging in pursuit of these groups. So now they've been displaced from the area where the energy fields are, but they're expanding across northern Mozambique.
What do we do about this, Professor? I mean, if we could walk it back, I mean, what do we do about this?
Well, I'm sorry.
I don't want to be a sitting duck.
Well, look, I'm not sure how you fix this quickly in the short term. SADC is absolutely a useless body. Okay. It's a paper tiger. You have the SADC organ on politics, defense, and security cooperation. On paper, you're supposed to be able to deploy a 3,000-strong battalion for crisis like this. But it just exists on paper. The South African National Defense Force is heavily underfunded. And our intelligence services is in a shambles. It's highly politicized. It is, people appointed on the basis of who they know as opposed to what they know. It's a mess.
And our journalists, if you don't mind me saying, can I add the media to this? A bunch of useful idiots who are reporting on everything else except for this.
Yeah, well, in terms of the media as well, but part of the problem is that there's a certain political correctness which has seeped in, that old saying, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Nonsense.
We, the ANC, used to be terrorists, and now we're the government, all of that stuff. Yeah. So that kind of political correctness, just by the way, it doesn't only affect the media, it affects academia, where people actually question whether such a thing as terrorism actually exists, right?
Right.
So we're flying blind, and I think the more important is the consequences. So other countries can possibly help us, right? U.S. intelligence agents, by the way, were meeting with their South African counterparts to discuss the situation in Mozambique this past week. But the thing is, how much can they share with the South Africans, given the fact that they may not trust the South Africans?
Well, South Africans is corrupt. And before somebody's actions are corrupt, or before somebody performs corrupt actions, their thinking has to be corrupt. So hence, we look at what the actions that South Africa's taking. It's just, it is such a mess. It is so rotten. And I just want a plan to fix it, because I believe that every South African, 60 million South Africans, would want to fix it, bar a few million who don't.
Well, I'll just say to you that I've been for the past 30 odd years screaming out in the margins, pushed out, regarded as an alarmist and stuff like this. And, you know, I mean, this attempt now to try to fix SSA is not going to work. It needs a massive overhaul. And we need to rethink stuff. And we need to look at how we fund priorities, how we appoint people, and so on. But it's not going to happen, because I don't think that this government has the political will to do the right things.
Yeah, it's much easier first, just to take money from Qatar. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, now I'm being overly charitable to the government, because it kind of assumes they know what the right things to do are.
Absolutely incredible. Professor Hussein Solomon, it is always a pleasure speaking to you, even if I'm more alarmed now than I was before. I mean, I was chilling. I was in a very good mood. Thank you very much for taking that away and waking me up this morning. No, I'm joking, but thank you very much. I wish you well. And I think we should definitely continue this conversation, because even if nobody else is highlighting it, we should. So we will definitely be in touch. Thank you very, very much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the day. That is Professor Hussein Solomon. He's a political analyst, expert on conflict resolution and on fundamentalism.